Bibles, if you're here in Luke chapter 22, I want you to read this passage with me, and then we're going to take our Bible and kind of break it up by centuries, if you would, okay? Luke chapter 22, our passage this morning, verse number 7, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent," speaking of Jesus Christ, "he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him." If you have your Bibles there, we've just read an incredible story, a wonderfully difficult passage to read. You say, well, why is it wonderful? Well, let's take just a moment and let's take our Bibles and go back to Exodus in chapter number 12. Exodus chapter 12. The Bible tells us here in Exodus chapter 12, in verse number 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." We go all the way back to Exodus chapter 12, and we travel all the way then. Hold your finger, or you might put a bookmarker there in Exodus chapter 12, because we're going to come back to it in just a moment. But if you put a bookmarker there in Exodus chapter 12 and a bookmark in Luke chapter 22, we travel from Exodus 12 to Luke 22, and for all of these years and all of these generations, they've been recognizing the Passover lamb. And they come together and they know this is a foregone conclusion. This is a fact. This is going to happen. They say to the Savior, "Where do we go to prepare for the Passover?" Now listen to me carefully. This section of pages that I hold in my, or that I have in my hands right now, this represents hundreds and hundreds of years. For example, the time between the end of Malachi to the beginning of the book of Matthew represents over 400 years in which there were no additional prophecies or prophets and no prophetical books. There were 400 years of silence. 400 years of silence between the end of Malachi and the beginning of Matthew. But even during that time frame, they're recognizing the Passover lamb. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Thousands upon millions of families have recognized the Passover. Millions upon millions of lambs have been slain at the time of the Passover. And all of these things are pointing to this section that we're now reading in Luke 22 and Luke 23, and this Passover with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ lived here on the earth for 33 and a half years. So each of the years he has celebrated the Passover. No doubt in those first years he's celebrating the Passover with his mom and his earthly father and other family members. Now in these last three and a half years or so, he's been celebrating Passover with these 12 apostles. And the time comes for them to recognize this Passover. And I want for all of us to just understand a number of things about the wonderful difficulty of this Passover. Would you notice, number one, with me, that the Passover was very sacred. The Passover was very sacred. Exodus chapter 12, if you kept your finger there, it's the second book of the Bible, and in Exodus chapter 12, we see what was going on as they spread the blood of a lamb over their doorposts and over their side posts. They're living in the land of Egypt, and God said, I'm going to bring one final plague upon the land of Egypt. And in order for your home to be spared in this night of the death angel passing over the lamb or over the land, you need to spread the blood of the lamb on the top of the doorpost and on the sides. We pick up the reading in Exodus chapter 12 in verse number 12. And the Bible says in verse number 12, tremendous verses, if you don't have these underlined, it'd be wonderful if you're in the habit of underlining your Bible. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. This is the tenth plague that God brought on the land of Egypt. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Look at verse number 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse number 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. From that time of that first Passover lamb, and I don't know if you've ever done the math on it. We were in our young adult class. I think it was last Sunday. We did some of the math in our young adult class. If there were 2 million Israelites there in the land, and if we pretended that each family, if we pretend that there were 4 people in each family, which I'm sure there were more, but it was one lamb for one household. If we just said if every household had a father, a mother, and 2 children, that's 500,000 lambs that would be sacrificed in that first Passover. And the Bible says it was necessary to take the blood of that lamb and to put it across the top of the post and then on the sides. And the Bible says when the angel passed over that house, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Passover was very sacred. Well, I tell you what, you can travel to some very sacred places around the globe today, can't you? If we could all together on a today all make our way over to Dulles and we all flew over to Hawaii and we got on those little boats that took us out to a very sacred place above the USS Arizona. There are meetings there every year, and I'm not sure if there's still any survivors left from that day of Pearl Harbor of those men that were serving there on that in that time frame. But if you could go with me and we could all be in that one place over top of the USS Arizona, a very sacred place and a place that people go to year after year to recognize and honor the fallen. If you could travel with me, if we could then get back on the plane and travel there to the shores of France, and we looked out across the land and we saw all those headstones that represent the many that sacrificed themselves, not only in the Pacific front there with Pearl Harbor, but also on the European front. If you could travel with me to that place and see that landscape and see those many different headstones and recognize the volume of individuals that gave their lives, it's a very sacred place. If you could travel with me today up to New York City, and we went to that place called Ground Zero, perhaps you had the chance to see Ground Zero when the Twin Towers still stood tall in the city lights of New York City, and they stood tall there. And perhaps you saw those towers before they were brought down by the terrorists. You travel there with me today and you recognize that it is a very sacred place. And on a yearly basis, they ring the bell and they call out the name of individuals that died in that place on that day. We can travel to a place called Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We did it many times. We had an activity for our men that was up in Bedford, Pennsylvania, and we would with each year go there, and we watched how they began to move from a makeshift memorial to that flight that went down there in Pennsylvania to now it's been built up, and there's many things that reflect on the sacrifice that was made by those passengers on that plane. It's a sacred place. We can travel just a few miles up the road here and even remain still in the state of Virginia. And as we travel up just a few miles away, right outside of the Pentagon, we recognize the many that were in the Pentagon and the many that were on the flight that sacrificed their lives. Oh, this is not uncommon to us. We know the nature of the sacrifices, and we know the nature of the yearly recognition. Listen to me carefully. Where I've mentioned a number of things that we've perhaps reflected upon for the last number of decades, the Jews have been recognizing Passover for centuries. And century upon century upon century, they remember that night in Egypt when the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And he said, "From this time forward, let this be a memorial for you. The lamb must be killed that we may eat. And all of this was settled. All of this was dealt with. We have many sacred sites, but I want the nature of this event to really sink in as we recall that the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to take his steps to Calvary." Number one, the Passover was sacred. Number two, this Passover was very specific. Look at verses 10 through 12, if you would with me. Verses 10 through 12, "And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good men of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." Not only was the Passover sacred, but number two, this Passover was very specific. Almighty God, Jesus Christ himself, is directing every single detail of the steps to Calvary. He tells them, "I want you to see a specific man." Now, I'm not trying to draw attention to the fact of what duties each of the genders in life should have. But I'm just telling you that in this time frame, it was not the norm to see the man carrying the pitcher of water, okay? You say, "Well, I don't like that," okay? Just be thankful then that you don't live in one of those arenas, all right? Our first trip to Africa and Kenya, we were amazed by how many gallons of water the ladies could carry on their heads. And I was like, "That is amazing." And they didn't just make one trip. They made multiple trips. And my wife said at the time, "Praise God." And I'll end it right there, all right? It wasn't the norm. So when this is laid out for them, we're very familiar in reading in the Scriptures. This lady was at the well. This lady was taking care of this at the well. This lady was at the well. We're very familiar with that. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. We're very familiar with this. But look at how specific the Lord is. He said, "You're going to go into this city, and you're going to find a man that's carrying the pot." Yeah, right. That's not going to happen. This is how specific the Lord was. He said, "You're going to find this specific man, and it's going to be unusual because the norm was that the ladies would have it. But you're going to find this specific man." Number two, it's not only a specific man. Then he says he's going to take you to a specific house. Now, this could not just be any old house. This had to be a specific house. Why did it have to be a specific house? Because God directed them to a specific room. A specific man took them to a specific house, and then to a specific room because this was going to be a large group of individuals participating in Passover. Now, I want us to understand some very clear things here from the Scriptures. Satan is at work, but God is directing the path. Satan has his own minions, has his own companions, and they're operating in what they think is their own agenda. But Almighty God is in control of all of this. You might refer back to the book of Job in the Old Testament, and Satan appears before God and says, listen, if that guy didn't have everything he's got, then he'd curse you, and there's no way he'd keep following you. And God said, okay, you can go this far against his life. And Satan went that far against Job's life. Then he says, well, you know what? If I could do this against him, he'd curse you for sure. And God said, okay, you can go that far. At every single stage, God demonstrates his power over the demonic world. And where the demonic world is definitely at work, don't miss this, folks. God is directing the steps to Calvary because he's going to die for your sins and mine. And we're reminded of this in the Gospel of John when when Jesus says to his disciples, listen, I'm going to lay down my life for you. No man taketh my life, I'm going to give it willingly. Oh, Pastor, those guys that beat Jesus Christ, those soldiers that beat Christ with the cat of nine tails, those that crowned him with the crown of thorns, those that pierced his hands, that pierced his feet, and hung him on that cruel cross, they were the ones that put him to death. Oh no, my friend. Jesus Christ, as we're going to see, gave his life willingly. No man took his life from him. He laid down his life. And in every single one of these steps, there are very specific things. Let me refer you back to something we looked at a number of weeks ago here in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19. Do you remember when they were coming into Jerusalem that Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to go to such and such a place, and when you get there, you're going to find this foal, and I want you to tell that man that you're bringing that foal because the master has need of him. Please do not miss that Jesus Christ was specific in the details because Jesus Christ was specific in giving his life a ransom for all. Oh, I know at times I probably can be a little bit frustrating to my wife on the details of a trip. This goes way back. My roommate in college, he'd give me the what for. He'd give it to me down the road. Well, Todd, you'd probably just get in the car and you'd probably just drive from here to California and not even check to see if you had enough gas. Well, now we know that would cost about $1,000. All right. He'd just give it to me. Perhaps maybe you're like that. Or perhaps you're the kind that gets in there and you're just mapping out every single step of the way. All right? At times I can frustrate my wife because I will say to her, let's go. And then we'll get in the car and she'll say, well, this is what GPS says we should do. I said, doesn't know what it's talking about. I know the way. And pretty soon we're sitting in traffic because GPS was telling us to go the different way and save the 35 minutes or to save the 40 minutes. But I was headstrong and I said, I know the way. But you know, there's a lot of details that I can leave out in preparation for events. Hey, we're going on a retreat. If you want to go, see this person. People then start to call me. Where are we going? What does it matter? We're going on a retreat. How much does it cost? I don't know. What does it matter? We're going on a retreat. You know, see how that is? In all of these things, I want you to see the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ and these steps to Calvary. Just as he was so specific with that colt in Luke chapter 19, he's specific with the details of this location of the Passover. The Passover was very sacred. The Passover was very specific. Would you notice number 3 with me this morning? this Passover would be very special. This Passover would be very special. Have you participated in some special dinners before? I know that that question is rhetorical because I know with the volume of military men and women and the volume of people that we have that have children that serve in the military, I know you've been in some special dinners. And for those of you that have served in our armed forces over the last 20, 25 years, 30 some odd years, you know the nature of what it was like on that last meal before the son or daughter, the husband, the wife, was getting ready to transfer out and to go over to another foreign location to be able to protect freedom either for us or for someone else. And so you remember what it was like as your mom or your dad sent out invitations and said, hey, our son is deploying and we want to have a special time and a special dinner. My husband's deploying. I want all the family to come together. I want to take this opportunity. We actually informally just had this happen with our daughter-in-law and her brother. And they said, hey, he's getting ready to deploy for the next 9 months or so. Can everybody meet at this location? Because we want a time together before they deploy. So many of you know what that's like. And you know what it was like to say your goodbyes to mom, to dad. And then you know what it was like in that special occasion to say goodbye to granddad and grandmom. And perhaps you knew full well that it was unlikely that you'd ever see grandmom again. Perhaps because of her health, the advanced stage of her life, and you just said, you know, this is in all likelihood because of the time that I'll be away, this is the last time that I'm going to see my grandmother. And so for you, you understand exactly what it means to have this kind of a special meal. Now let's put ourselves into the location here. This Passover was special. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ is with his dearest friends. We travel all the way back in the Gospels to a location in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 14. Boy, it's a wonderful section of verses in Mark where Mark is conveying the truths of the relationship between Christ and his apostles. John Mark authored the book, but he authored it at the feet of the eyewitness account of the apostle Peter. And in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 14, Mark says, Jesus ordained him 12, listen to these next words, that they should be with him. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be one of the 12 of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, you've heard every message. You've probably seen most, if not all, of the miracles. You've seen all of this stuff transpire. He ordained him 12 that they might be with him. This Passover was very special. John chapter 15, in verse number 15, he says to 11 of the 12s, he says this, you're no longer servants. Just let this sink in. The God of the universe looks in the eyes of 11 men and says, men, you're no longer servants. Today, I call you friends. Today, I call you friends. This Passover was special because he's eating with his dearest friends. And number two, it's special because this is that final opportunity to have this kind of fellowship before the cross. We are now heading into the overnight hours where Christ is going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to see that in just a few weeks. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And boy, praise God, the disciples were there, but we learn from the Gospels that Jesus went a little further. And he began to pray, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Can I just add in this parenthetical thought to warm your heart because of the great difference between this wonderfully difficult time and what was after the resurrection? Here they're making preparations to participate in this Passover, a very sacred time, a very specific time, a very special time. And in this time, he says to these men, come and participate in Passover with me. This is significant. But boy, I tell you what, on the other side of the cross, on the other side of his burial, on the other side of his resurrection, we find a second meal with the Lord Jesus Christ. And is out there on the shoreline. The guys have been out fishing and they've caught nothing. Jesus is already on the shoreline cooking it up. Man, I can't imagine what that fish must have tasted like with God Almighty as the cook. But Jesus already was cooking there. In this occasion, he had the other guys prepare the Passover. On the other side of resurrection, he's cooking on the shoreline and he calls out, here it is, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. Boy, I tell you what, if that just doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. All of this is transpiring in this wonderfully difficult night. Recognizing Passover that goes back centuries to the time in the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. A very sacred time. This is a very specific time. This would be a special time. An opportunity for cherished thoughts. An opportunity to demonstrate love unending. And Jesus says, I want to celebrate the Passover. I want you to read this again with me. And think anew on this. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. This Passover was very special. As we reflect in this matter, the Passover was very sacred, a time of memorial as to the angel that passed over when he saw the blood of the Lamb. The Passover was sacred. The Passover was specific. A specific house, or a specific man, a specific house in a specific room. It was special. And then number four, the Passover is symbolic. It's very important for us to understand that from this moment under the direction of Almighty God, if he were directing the orchestration of the matter, he begins the number in Exodus chapter 12, and we launch ourselves down through the centuries, year after year after year after year, sacrificing the lamb, recognizing the Passover, and now, all of a sudden, after hundreds of years of silence, after hundreds of years of recognition, now there's going to be one final Passover. Why? Because the Lamb had come. The Lamb had come. Jesus Christ himself had lived on this earth. And Jesus Christ was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So all of these lambs that have been sacrificed through all these centuries have been sacrificed looking forward to the time that the Lamb would come. And the Lamb is here. Can you imagine what it was like to sit not just with Jesus, not just with God, but to sit with the one that was getting ready to sacrifice himself on the cross of Calvary so that you and I, as wretched sinners, could be brought out of our sin and have our feet set upon a rock. That, my friend, was one unbelievable meal. All of these Passover lambs are pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had looked forward to the Lamb that would come. And finally, the Lamb was here. It is very appropriate for us to turn to the book of Hebrews to finish the message this morning. I love Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. As we think of the nature of the sacredness of the Passover, as we think on the nature of the specifics of this Passover, as we think on the special nature of this Passover and how the Lord was mindful of all these days with these 11 that have been with Him, as He thinks on all these things, by the way, at this time, in the participation of the Passover, Judas is still participating. He thinks on Judas's life. He knows what Judas is about to do. All of this is in play. They've looked for the Lamb, and now after century after century after century, finally the Lamb has come. There's been all of this silence. There's been all of this symbolism. And finally, we have the last Passover. Why is it the last Passover? Hebrews chapter 10. Perhaps you've read this before, but let's read it again. Maybe with a different set of glasses on. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Man, doesn't that just excite you to no end? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you no longer stand before God as a judge. You stand before Him justified. God does not look at me in my old filthy robes of sin. He looks at me through the robes of Jesus Christ. And He sees me justified. What does that mean? Jesus, Almighty God, sees me just as if I had never sinned. He's perfected them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Oh my. You know, there's some very dear people in this church that had me in grade school. And thankfully, against their better judgment, they remember my sins against them no more. My sins were many. But I had few sins against them. I have many sins against Almighty God. And in all my sins against Almighty God, would you look at that again? And perhaps even underline this if you don't have it underlined in your Bible. And their sins. Whose sins? People that accept the shed blood of the Lamb. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. All of this is in play as Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 22, contemplates this final Passover. The Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come. This Passover, of course, was very sacred. It was a recognition of what God did in Exodus chapter 12. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This Passover was very specific. Christ had all the details taken care of. The Passover was very sacred. It was very specific, but this one was going to be very special. This Passover was symbolic. Every single one of these lambs has sacrificed itself to point people to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I close with this. We no longer celebrate or turn our attention to Passover. Why? Because that cross is empty. And so is the tomb. The Passover lamb was slain. The Passover lamb was buried. And praise God, the Passover lamb rose again. And if you would know him today, he can save you from your sins, and he will remember your iniquities against you no more. Come this morning and meet the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story. These are real events that occurred. These are real interactions that took place between the Lord and his disciples. They have celebrated the Passover for centuries. And now the Passover lamb, the lamb, had come. And the disciples had the opportunity to sit with the Passover lamb. And as the Lord reflected or knew all that there was to know about their lives and their interactions, and he knew everything that there was to know about what was to come, he looks at those men and it says, I'm no longer going to call you servants. I'm going to call you friends. So much going on. In this time. And in this time of memorial. As we've been able to look at it anew this morning, I do pray that if there be one or more that has not yet turned their eyes to Jesus and to his saving grace, I pray that today that they would turn their attention to Calvary and realize that the Lamb was shed, or the Lamb's blood was shed, that they might receive forgiveness of sins. They must put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray today that there would be many, either those here on campus or those watching online, that would say, you know what, today's the day. I'm going to trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. I believe in the Passover lamb that was slain for my salvation. For Christians across this audience, I pray that they take opportunity to pray for family members, friends, associates that they have that may not know Christ as their Savior. And then I also pray that we take time to reflect upon the precious blood of Christ that was shed for us once for all. Once for all. His work is finished. May we take time to rejoice in our salvation this morning. Would you work in this time of invitation, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Again, we are thankful that we're able to host folks that have not been with us for a long time, or perhaps this is your first time to FBT. We offer a time of invitation here at FBT because we believe that it's a time for us to immediately reflect upon the truth of Scripture and to respond to what God would have us to do. You're more than welcome to pray here at the altar. Perhaps there's a need on your heart and you just want to take it to the Lord and pray. You're more than welcome to pray there in your place. If you'd like someone to pray with you, we have counselors that would be happy to join with you in prayer over a need of the hour. Perhaps there are those that do not know Christ. You've not yet put your faith and trust in the Lamb that was slain. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. We'd invite you to come. Again, this is not the Baptist way. This is not our hierarchy's way. This is not something that we've invented or concocted or that's based upon man. This is based upon the finished Word of God. And He directs. And He says He is the way. This morning, I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to play "I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Anything," number 474. And as the piano starts to play that, if God's worked in your heart in one or more of these areas, won't you come and do what God would have you do this morning? This was going to be the final Passover. And by the way, there were people that participated in the Passover, and they participated knowing and believing that Jesus was Messiah. But there were also people that participated in the Passover that did not believe in Jesus as Messiah. They were going through the religious game and the religious rituals, but Judas did not believe in Jesus. It's possible to be religious and yet lost. It would be our prayer this morning that you'd rather have Jesus than anything. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? This was the final Passover. No need to look now any longer at a lamb that would come, because the Lamb had come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As she plays one more stanza, will you do what the Lord would have you do this morning?